Welcome to the Balance Code Podcast, a place where you have permission to step outside the hamster wheel of day-to-day life and learn tools for better balance. My name is Katie Ressler. I'm a licensed therapist and hidden grief and burnout specialist. I help ambitious high achievers who are ready to get off the one-way train to burnout and learn better tools to embrace life. Oh, and by the way, I'm an American living in Germany who's still learning the language, a mom of three, and an entrepreneur. Living my balance code is what helps me keep working in incredible ways without burning out. So let's discover our balance code together. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about self-sabotaging behaviors and not the ones you know you're doing, the ones you don't realize you're doing. So Christina Fontana is here to talk about what are those self-sabotaging behaviors that are keeping us stuck and hitting our heads up against the wall going, why do I keep doing this to myself? Or why does this keep happening? We're diving into that. So Christina, thank you for being here. And it's early where you are. Share where you're from, what you do, and who you serve.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm here in Pittsburgh. So yes, it's 8 a.m., but I am so excited about this topic because I love talking about this. So I am so excited to be here. So I know that I'm brand new to your audience. So my name is Dr. Christina Fontana. I am a pharmacist, five-time author, rapid transformation business coach, holistic healer, huge nerd. I've written books. I've done podcasts, conferences, retreats. I'm on YouTube. But I'm really passionate about helping spiritually driven women to release self-sabotage so you can elevate into more energy, confidence, and self-worth. And the reason why I'm so passionate about that is because that was me 12 years ago. I had self-sabotaging behaviors in my relationships. I was attracting narcissists and unavailable men. And I had an eating disorder, a rare eating disorder called night eating syndrome, where I would get up every night and binge on unhealthy food and then be good during the day and eat salads and all of that. And it was because of these deeper patterns that we're going to be talking about today. So I always start off with just kind of giving you the fact that I am still on my healing journey and there's layers to it, but this is why I do what I do, because I know how debilitating it can feel to be stuck in these vicious cycles where you just feel powerless and there's a lot of shame and guilt. And so my goal is to really empower women to show up and shine as God's source spirit made you and the brilliance of who you are to shine through, whether it's in your life or your business, wherever that might be.
Awesome. Okay. So you've walked what we're going to be talking about.
Yes.
You've gone through this. Let's discuss, what are the obvious self-sabotaging patterns that we probably all realize that we do?
People-pleasing is the biggest. So people-pleasing, which like I think 90-something percent of women are like, yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
So it's essentially giving your power away, not speaking up for what you need or what you want, kind of just going with the flow because you want to avoid conflict. Mm-hmm. It could be specifically in business. It can show up through maybe overgiving and undercharging because you don't want anybody to judge you on your prices. Or it could be that, you know, a client asks you for something that's not quite in the scope of your program, but you're afraid to say no because you're like, oh, well, they're paying me. And, you know, it can get very murky with that. So it can show up in so many different ways. And what I want to say, first of all, is this episode is not meant to put shame or judge or blame on you. It's actually to take some of that off and to attune with that survival part of you that just wants love and acceptance.
Yeah.
Right. So really all of us want that love, that acceptance. That's really where people pleasing comes from, right? Like we're wanting our caregivers, our early caregivers to just, for us to be safe. And so it's almost this safety protection mechanism that we play out in real life based upon our past programming, because our foundational programming gets wired in from birth to age 7. And so that's our subconscious. And I'm 8 months pregnant right now. So I'm really thinking about this, like, what am I going to be teaching my child? What are the things that my husband and I are saying? And it's not about being perfect, but just being aware of like, okay, like, what are we saying about money or love or how people act? So I think that a lot of that translates as you get older. And I've seen this in myself and all of the clients that I've worked with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think people pleasing is the easiest one for a lot of us to raise our hands to. And then I would second that with perfectionism.
Yes.
Which is, you know, that fear of failure of like, I won't get it right. It won't be the way I want it. I'm going to overdo so they don't see where I feel like I've failed. So we have got these two big ones. We've got perfectionism and people pleasing. Now, let's get into where are we doing it and we're not realizing we're doing it. Where are we like self-sabotaging, which is really probably what's keeping us stuck in things in our lives and relationships in our lives and habits, whatever it might be. And yeah, we're doing it to ourselves.
So I think a lot of this, I always see it as multidimensional. So like there's a core wound that we have, whether it's unworthiness or shame or something that happened where, you know, that younger part of you essentially either shut off or, you know, fight, flight, freeze. Yep. We had to cope somehow, right? So a lot of people freeze and shut down, they hide, they avoid. So you'll see a lot of those avoidant behaviors, or it's like that anxious attachment style. So it depends on kind of your own nervous system and how that was wired in early on. But I think that a lot of that, you know, that unworthiness then shows up as these other patterns. And sometimes it's overperforming. So a lot of what I see, because I help a lot of high achievers, you know, being a pharmacist, I do serve a lot of other pharmacists, but also just high achievers in general. And what I see a lot is this busyness. There's a lot of this overwhelm, especially with moms, of course, like we're busy, right? And I think that sometimes we just, the brain unconsciously looks for more things to put on our plate because it's a survival mechanism to avoid actually feeling.
Mm.
So it's a big blind spot that a lot of people are like, I'm so busy, I'm overwhelmed, all this stuff's happening. But they're also not realizing like they have a choice to say no to taking on extra responsibilities or doing the shoveling when they can ask their, hey, can I have help here? I think that a lot of those very subtle things that come up, we're not realizing that we're actually avoiding ourselves. We're avoiding being with those uncomfortable feelings of guilt, shame, unworthiness. Because just as an example with my dad was a pharmacy owner, and he, when he was 13 years old, he was abused. You know, his dad was very physically abusive. And then my dad was abusive to us. And so I'm breaking the cycle. This is it for this generation. But my grandfather told my dad, oh, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? And that was the seed that drove him to be successful. Yeah. So at like whatever, 12, 13 years old, my dad made a decision that I am never going to feel that unworthiness again. And so even at 71 years old, my dad's going to be 71. He has a really tough time relaxing. He doesn't want to be with that emotion. And he doesn't know all of this, right? Like I've done so much work over the last 12 years that I know, because his body's so much in that do, go, 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 survival, do. And it's the same with a lot of us, right? We don't want to sit with ourselves and feel like, oh my God, I'm lazy. Oh my God, I'm unworthy because I'm not working, and oh, I'm not being productive. And again, I struggle with this too. And there are different layers to it. And so a lot of the work that I do now is around nervous system work. So helping attune with these parts of us that just want to run away, that don't want to feel the pain and the heaviness of, oh my God, I'm worthless. Like that is my big fear. You know, and so as a high achiever, I'm like, I do this and I do this, right? Because it helps to kind of like keep that wound at bay.
Right.
And so actually attuning with it and sitting for 5 minutes allows all of those voices to come through, but you're actually being with yourself. And so that's kind of, you know, the healing process is, you know, working through some of this deeper trauma, these nervous system responses. And in that, there's a space, there's a stillness, there's a gap that allows something new to emerge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I often talk on the podcast about, you know, when you have that open space on your calendar, do you go to fill it every time? Because
right.
It's like, oh, I have the space, I need to do something. Are you able to sit with that quiet and that relaxation? And you bring up a good point. It's we don't want to feel those things that we've been hiding from. And I truly believe the increase in depression, anxiety, even suicide rates during the COVID lockdown time was because people were sitting with the feelings and thoughts they didn't know how to sit with anymore.
Right.
We stayed so busy as different cultures around the world and different societies. Go, 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 go. And all of a sudden now it's like less urgency in our lives. Oh my gosh, how do I keep going? Another self-sabotage area that I see kind of, I'm going to call it micro, but it's macro, scarcity. How do you notice that people's mindset around scarcity, there's not going to be enough, whether it be love or money or whatever, drives them to also end up self-sabotaging?
Yeah. So I would say you had nailed it on the head. It's like, you know, it's not just money. People think like, oh, scarcity around money, but it's also time. So if you have, I always give the like practical example, say that you have a closet full of clothes and you cannot stuff one more shirt in that or dress in that closet. There's no spaciousness for you to receive.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we're so booked and everything is, you know, we're chaotic and there's all of this, like you said, urgency or overwhelm, how can you receive and be still enough to receive? Like you might have, I always, you know, think about business. You might have potential clients in your world, but do you have space to actually fit them into your calendar
mm-hmm.
to be able to be present with someone that you can hold space for them? So I think the energy and the frequency that you lace your business says a lot about your capacity to receive. How can you, like you said, that's such a great example of, you know, do you like those empty spaces in your calendar? Do you fill that up right away? Like, oh, well, I'm going to take a breathwork class, like, right? Because it's again, it's like, oh, I'm not good enough. So I need to fix myself. And it's these underlying patterns that weave the frequency of your business. And it's either you're operating from fear or love.
Yep.
And again, there's no shame, but doing this deeper inner healing work is going to help you actually relax and have some spaciousness to have capacity to receive more.
Which
more abundance. Go ahead.
Counteracts the belief that there's not enough of by showing yourself there is.
Right.
Right? There is actually enough time. You are just filling it with things to make it so there's not enough time because you're saying there's not enough time. So your brain is like, okay, well then I'm going to make sure there's not enough time.
Right.
So
right.
Often our self-sabotaging behavior is just our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Like how you're describing something is ended up making the reality as it is.
Right. And I think that it's this vicious cycle again, that it's so unconscious that we're not seeing that we actually are not a victim to our circumstance, that we have the power right here and now to do this work, to change our mindset, to shift this belief system so that we can start showing up in a more empowered way in our life, in our business, wherever that might be.
Yeah. What other ways are you noticing, like kind of small ways that we don't realize it later on, that people are self-sabotaging in their lives?
That's a really great question. I'm trying to think of like some of the main things I see. I think, you know, we talk a lot about urgency. I want to go to the other end of the coin, like avoidance. I think that's a big thing that can also accompany people pleasing. If someone doesn't want to say no to something, the little subtle ways that they'll avoid, they'll wait till the last minute, because then it's like, oh, well, yeah, no, sorry, I can't do that. Right. Or they eventually have to say no. So I think there's some of that push away too. Like sometimes, you know, there's the avoidant, the secure, and the anxious attachment. Sometimes people will avoid and go more to that shutdown state because there's just too much going on, or they just are flooded with, you know, emotion, and they're in that stress chemistry, that flight or freeze response. So I think that sometimes can happen too, where people just totally shut down.
Yeah.
And they want to just avoid saying no or whatever that might be. I think that's kind of another way it shows up.
I agree. Okay. So we've shed light on a couple ways that the listeners may be self-sabotaging. I'm going to remove maybe and are self-sabotaging.
Yeah.
Now, you've talked a lot about regulating nervous system. You've talked a lot about really being able to sit with those emotions. Walk me through, if I was your client, a step-by-step, what would you kind of coach me through to do? Really the tools, because it's easy for you and I to say things like emotional regulation and the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. But the everyday person reads these things, and I don't think they always fully grasp what's being said. So let's bring it down to, like, I'm coming to you, Christina, and I'm like, I know I have this pattern. I know I've got this pattern, people pleasing, or I'm, you know, perfectionism. What do I do next? How do I stop?
So what I would do with them first is I would explore. I think it's a lot easier for people to go cognitively first and then go into the emotion. So I would just say, like, okay, you know, right now, Katie, you're experiencing, you know, you're so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I would say to them, how is that serving you? Because people think about, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, I want to get rid of this pattern, but there's a payoff. What is this payoff that we want to highlight? Because there's a reason why you're engaging in this behavior. So I would start asking them those questions of, how is this actually serving you right now? And seeing and kind of helping them uncover, oh, well, you know what? I'm really uncomfortable because I cheated on my husband 10 years ago and I don't want to feel that guilt. So in that moment, when they bring that guilt to the surface to be witnessed with compassion, I'm attuning with them and I'm helping them actually digest that emotion. So I want you to think about, if you had, you know, I had oatmeal this morning for breakfast. And say I never digested that. It would just stay in my body. And that's what happens with trauma, right? It's mm-hmm. in our cellular memory that we have this undigested emotion that's wanting to be liberated. And so that's how I would start, you know, going right to that emotion of that guilt. Okay, describe that. What does it feel like? What does it have a color? What is that sensation? Is it a burning? Where is it in your body? And then starting to attune with that sensation, because when we're blocking emotion, when we suppress, and trust me, I grew up in a very suppressed household, wasn't allowed to feel, wasn't allowed to cry. That's where we create disease in the body, right? Disease. And so that's where I would start. I would be curious about that, explore some of the deeper layers, go into the feeling and help them actually, even if it's like, hey, we're not going to go all the way in, but we're going to just go like 1% in to just allow you to release some of this. We might even do some releasing techniques like somatic work. I kind of go intuitively based upon what that person I feel like needs, the medicine that they need. But I do like nervous system work, somatic work, EFT tapping, hypnosis, subconscious programming, depending on kind of what I feel that person is receptive to and what I feel like they need is what I prescribe, I guess. So I don't dispense medication anymore, but it's just a different type of medicine. But I think the biggest medicine, who, you know, if you're a healer, a coach, whatever, is truly witnessing and holding space and having compassion for people. Because I think that we shame and judge ourselves enough mm-hmm. that is the top layer that needs to be taken off first. That like hard pain of judging ourselves and like, oh, I do this pattern, right? So like taking that off, I think kind of helps open the space for healing and transformation.
Yeah, definitely. And so the tools that you shared at the very end, like somatic work and stuff, just for the listener, you know, somatic work is mind-body type thing. So it can be things like particular stretches. It can be certain type of breath work with movement. Things like that is going to be that somatic. You know, with hypnotherapy and guided meditation, we're getting you in a state that's called theta. Just super, super relaxed. And it allows the mind to not be so blocked and guarded and go, okay, now I can really heal this. I can work on this. We often think that dealing with self-sabotaging behaviors and changing belief systems means we always have to stay logical, right? Like talk therapy, write it out. But often it is stored in our body in such a way it's not attached to words. So the modalities you just shared speak to getting back in our bodies, releasing it on an emotional level and an energetic level. And if that energetic level is not a word you normally, like, I don't, what energetic level? Just think about when you walk into a room where people have argued and you feel the tension. Now, if you're like, I'm not one of those who feels the tension, that's okay. Some people are not as attuned to it. Neither, it's not positive or negative. But if you walk in and you can feel the tension in a room, then you already feel the energy of that. And right. So things like that get stored in you, like you said, on a cellular level. And so Christine's really saying that the modalities that she uses helps to break that down so that you get things flowing again, right? You can think more clearly. You're not blocking yourself constantly. You're not going like, I keep getting in this relationship. I keep eating the food I don't want to. I keep packing my calendar, whatever, or people pleasing. So I love how you brought in, like, you bring in so many different modalities, and you and I work quite similarly. Like, it's based on what the person needs. Right. That's the beauty of us all being individuals. So if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, well, I want the easy cookie cutter view, you're not a cookie cutter person. So there's no cookie cutter view. You have to find what really works for you. But the key is mind and body, right? Like, it's got to be able to involve, and you and I would probably say as well, spirituality, right? Mind, body, yes. And spirit. So, but it has to involve those things. If you're just going to do, let me talk this out. Why do I keep doing this? Let me complain to my friend and talk about it to this person, right. The worker and everything. You're pushing it further into the, this is who I am and this is how I do things. And right. So that's, there we go. Self-sabotage behavior number 5, right?
Like, well, I love that you brought that up about the identity, right? Because it's like, oh no, this is who I am. And it, who you are oftentimes is a set of conditioned beliefs from survival patterns.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm a people pleaser. I'm the, you know, so it's sometimes it's like releasing and undoing a lot of those very hardwired beliefs of, you know, mine was I'm a victim, and it was so unconscious because I had been bullied and abused and all these things have happened to me. And so I had such low self-esteem and such, I was giving my power away. Mm-hmm. And so when I took ownership of my life and I said, okay, I realize what I'm doing, I'm declaring that I'm going to be this type of person, you direct a new destiny. So I think that what you said is spot on. It's like, we have these beliefs about ourselves based upon the past that we can change. And you can actually, like, think about even somebody who's like, oh, I'm a smoker. That's how they're identifying themselves. Even a disease state, I have diabetes. Okay. What if we, because there's a lot of labels and attachment to that too.
Right.
So I've studied some of that too, of like, okay, how do we start to peel back? Okay. What is diabetes? What is the feeling, the sensation, you know, kind of like deconstructing that a little bit so that you can say, I am now a healthy person that's regulating my blood sugar, whatever that could be.
Yeah. My victim mentality, and I speak on this a lot, was the, why is this happening to me? Like, I'm a good person. Why does this keep happening to me?
Yeah.
And I realized it would be like, you know, if I keep hitting red light after red light after red, like, what, like, why does this keep happening? Why does this bad thing happen? Why I forgot this and I did this? And it was this mentality of like, life can't just happen as it is. It has to be happening in a way of punishing me if negative things continue to occur.
Yeah.
And I had to shift it into a growth mindset of like, ooh, I get, you know, 3 red lights. What do I need to pause and reflect on right now? What is something like I'm going to hold space for right now while I sit here for a little bit longer? What's a song I can listen to that will bring up, you know, joy? It isn't that it's happening because I've done something wrong. But that punishment mentality is like parented into us, right? Like, that's, you get right. In trouble at school, you get in trouble at home. If at work you do something wrong, you get in trouble. And then it must be I'm in trouble if bad things are happening to me or in my space, and I'm bad in quotations.
Right.
And that I had to work on pretty heavily because it's, and I, the more I talk about it with people, the more I realize there's a lot of us who have this. Like, you keep getting into bad relationships, or, you know, maybe that's a month or a year that just was terrible. And it's this mentality, like, what did I do to deserve?
Right.
That's a reflection that life is all about punishment or reward and not just life. And mm-hmm. We're going through it and navigating our wounds and healing and things. So we all have a victim mentality in some way that we're working through. And I love that you, like, you just got to find where that core wound is, right? That core thing that became, and now my world is shaped this way. And now I want to reprogram that. Which means I just want to rewrite that belief and think differently and feel different.
Right.
And that you can do in a variety of ways.
Well, and I want to just speak to also, this is such a great conversation. So a lot of people are like, oh, well, I can't focus at work. Let me just go take a pill. So it's the, oh, well, let me just fix this quickly. But I want to encourage you to dive into this, because when you do the deeper work, yes, it's going to take some time, but imagine the trajectory of where your life can go versus, like you said, staying and complaining by the coffee machine at the work, or like, you know, and I'll admit this too. Like sometimes I do this with my husband and I'm like, you know, I said, you know, we have coffee every morning. Like we need to stop this, because like we're getting into this.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a venting, like you need to sometimes vent, but how long are you staying there? I think is like the big thing. So not like hours or like repeatedly, but I think that when you do this deeper work, that allows you to make better choices to love your body and feed your body nourishing things. And it's worth that work. Because I think so many people are like, that's like too much work. Like, I don't want to heal my wounds. I'm scared or whatever it is. So they delay and push it off. But what is it costing you to not do that now, to take control right now of the trajectory of where you could be a year from now?
Yeah. And everybody said like, enough's enough. Well, like when is enough really enough? Because you keep saying that. Like, yep. I'm tired of this. This is enough. Okay. Then let's start to make the shift. But you're right. It can take a year. It can take longer than a year. But that is a year of work that then the 5 to 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years after, you've already done.
Right.
It's not holding you back like it was. Christina, this was a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I am so excited for our listeners to receive this. If people want to get in contact with you and learn more from you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So I am on Instagram at The Pharmacist Coach. You can look up my YouTube videos, Christina Fontana, LinkedIn, Facebook, find me. Let us know how you enjoyed the episode. I hope that it provided so much just uplifting and empowering for you. I never want people to be like, oh my God, I have all these problems. You know, I want you to know that there is hope and healing. I went from being homeless, broke, that's a whole other podcast and story, but with a rare eating disorder, I had an ex-boyfriend slash my tires, so many different things that have happened to now everything that I'm doing and the healing work that I'm doing in the world. I want you to know that there is hope for whatever you're moving through. So I hope that that was what you got out of the episode.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for adding that. And for sure, all of your links and where you can find Christina will be in the show notes. So make sure to go and look and check them out and check her out and follow her and learn from her. Thank you, Christina. Wonderful, wonderful episode. I really appreciate your wisdom and having you here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for listening to today's episode. As one of my listeners, I have a special gift for you. Do you ever feel like you're simultaneously doing way too much while also not feeling like you're doing enough? I have a workbook that's going to help you solve that problem and get to the root of what actually needs to be done and what matters to you most based on your values. Check out my Juggling All the Things workbook below in the show notes so that you can use this special gift to simplify your life. We all need that. And if you're interested in working with me, check in the show notes below on information on how to do so. Here's to finding our balance code.